practice your puckering while we listen to this next piece. It's about a field of human endeavor that is less of an art than a contact sport, politics. And this story comes from Britain, where they play politics with blood. The leader of Britain's Conservative Party, Ian Duncan Smith, has been toppled after party infighting. And you might think he'd be happy to leave the job. Here is what British political leaders face. This is a recording from parliamentary debate yesterday. Labour MP Dennis Skinner was mocking Tory divisions, the very kind that brought about Ian Duncan Smith's downfall, during a debate on crime in an exchange with his party leader, Tony Blair.
In view of the renewed interest in crime figures, especially on the Tory benches, will my right honourable friend consider that backstabbing becomes a criminal offence?
Well, I want to admit that in the past few years that crime has gone up. But I regret to say that on the evidence available, there's not much we're going to be able to do about it.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair in debate yesterday. Joining us from London is Jonathan Friedland. He writes for The Guardian newspaper. Jonathan, you all have such fun over there.
Sounds like a bear pit, doesn't it, just to listen to it. Now, politics, as you said, a blood sport here, and it is great fun if you're particularly fascinated by the personalities and inner rivalries, plotting, backstabbing, then watching the Conservative Party tear itself apart has been a spectator sport really for 13 years since they finally did in their queen, if you like, Margaret Thatcher, and terminated her career so abruptly.
Well, tell us about the Ian Duncan Smith era. Who is this guy? How did he do in power? And why have they now decided to get rid of him?
Well, his problem was that he never got power and he never was even close. He was only leader of his party for 2 years, elected after the wipeout, the landslide defeat the Conservatives suffered at the hands of Tony Blair in 2001. He was put in to be the leader of the opposition, to be leader of the Conservative Party, and really to face Blair in our next general election, which is at least a couple of years away. He managed to put together some sound policies. He's a former army captain, but he just was terribly ineffectual.
The Conservatives have suffered two overwhelming defeats in the last national elections. What is it that they can do now? What do they think that they're going to do in order to change their fortunes by going with new leadership? Who are they turning to, and what difference will it make?
For the moment, they're rallying around a man called Michael Howard, who served in the last Conservative cabinet under the Prime Minister John Major, served under Margaret Thatcher as well, man with long experience. Not exactly charismatic, but a very effective performer in that bear pit of the House of Commons. You can imagine you have to have a skin of steel to be able to survive in that chamber, and he's very, very good there. He has a very sort of austere manner. Job one for Michael Howard, if he is anointed as leader, is to get their act together, and job two will be actually to start winning votes in the country, and they acknowledge that task is some way off.
For Americans looking at this election, is any of this going to affect us in any way, or will it affect Britain's support for this country's policies in Iraq?
Tony Blair, as you know, is obviously an ardent supporter and military ally of the United States in Iraq, and he was partly able to do that despite huge rebellions in his own left-of-center Labour Party because the Conservative Party backed him 100%. Tony Blair, who's had really a free ride and almost been governing a kind of one-party state, now will have a challenge on his hands. And Michael Howard will land some punches on him in the House of Commons, and that will make Tony Blair, who is obviously admired and known to Americans, a little more vulnerable, a little more shaky than he has been.
Jonathan Friedland writes for Britain's Guardian newspaper. He joined us from his home in London. Thank you, Jonathan.
My pleasure.